The views expressed in the following program do not necessarily represent those of the staff, management, or owners of WGBB.
Live from West Babylon, New York, this is Sports Talk 1240.
And nice cool music to start us off. Hey, good evening, everybody, and welcome to Sports Talk 1240 on this Sunday, June 26, 2016. Live and in person from the studios at WGBB, 1240 AM in West Babylon, New York, as they just said. I'm Gary Harding, and John Panarese is with me, as always. Good evening, John, and how are you?
Good, good.
Nice and warm in the studio tonight.
Yeah, very nice.
We want to definitely just say, before we start anything, our new third player, John Sweeney, who was on with us last month. Unfortunately, his dad passed away this past week, and he had to go down to South Carolina to obviously attend his funeral and stuff. And our thoughts and our prayers are sympathies go with the entire Sweeney family. John, we're thinking about you. We love you, and we'll
catch up.
We'll see you on next month's show, that's for sure. So, nothing going on, John, huh?
No, very quiet, right?
Yeah, very quiet. Very quiet. I mean, you know, when Jose Reyes gets signed, you know that's something pretty interesting. Of course, all the sports talk shows, the podcasts, the Facebook pages, Twitter was going all nuts with this domestic violence stuff. And, you know, should he be signed? You know, what is our GM doing? You know, all these things that are coming up in their head. But, you know, the bottom line, it's still a baseball decision.
Right, and I get it. And what about, you know, you could make the same point about Chapman on the Yankees, and, you know, the same thing kind of happened with him.
Right, he only had a 30-day suspension. Obviously,
right.
Reyes was like 50-something games.
Yeah, so come on, you know.
Right,
whatever.
I mean, obviously, he played today at Brooklyn. He was assigned to the Brooklyn Cyclones for, I would think, probably for at least another a week, 10 days, because you figure, I think he only had like 9 games in the minors in AAA before you know, he was released by the Colorado Rockies. So, you know, pretty interesting. Obviously, you know, the Mets have their problems right now. They forgot what it takes to score a run.
It's just ridiculous. This team has got so much, you know, even without Duda and Wright in the lineup, they still should be hitting the ball, and they can't score runs.
But don't you remember last June?
Yes.
The same problem?
Yes. And
but that was when we had, was it John Mayberry Jr. hitting cleanup? I mean, you know, that rock solid outfielder. And where is he now? He's probably selling pencils at a Staples in Eugene, Oregon or something like
right.
that. Right. But, you know, now obviously, you know, they have a big series coming up with the Washington Nationals. You know, they've gained a couple games on them because Washington went on the West Coast and lost every single game.
I didn't truthfully look at
the standings today and see what they did this afternoon. I'm going to look as we speak. But, you know, obviously the big matchup on Monday with Noah Syndergaard going, you know, hopefully the lovely bit of cortisone that engulfed his elbow is kind of helping him, hopefully, a little bit.
Yeah, I hope so.
Yeah.
You don't need any more problems with arms on this team.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, of course, you know, what the thing I saw right away, and I didn't watch much of the Met game that night because I was working late, but to see Steven Matz holding on to his elbow, you know, before that implosion, I'm like, oh, here we go again. That's exactly what this team did not need. But, you know, you look at today, obviously, they lost 5-0. Due to Antonio Bastardo, who I can think of other words for, you know, like deportation. you know, he actually was a 5-2 final. They did score another one.
Yeah, they got a run on Cespedes sacrifice fly.
Right.
And I think Wilmer Flores, I think, singled in somebody.
Right. And unfortunately, Washington did lose their losing streak. They did win a game. They won 3-2 today. So I think it's 4 games now, I think. So, you know, they've got some work to do. You know, I mean, they got a big 3-game stand with this, you know, with this tough Washington Nationals team. And, you know, do things get any better? No. Who comes into Citi Field on the weekend? The Chicago Cubs.
Yeah.
You know, a 700 baseball team, you know. I mean, who would have ever thought we'd be saying the Chicago Cubs are a 700%
I mean, they're coming down to earth a little bit, but they're still the Cubs, you know. It's still
exactly.
dangerous team.
You know, you can't say anything good about them until they finally do something.
I can't say because my friend Mark might be listening to this, and he's a big Cub fan, and I'll never hear the end of it, so I can't say anything bad.
Has he been a Cub fan all his life?
Yes. Oh, he lives in Chicago.
Oh, okay, so. Then that's cool. I definitely, you know, bow to that. You know, the people that have stayed true to Cub Blue, you know, they're great fans, and they love their team, and you know what? After 108 years, it's finally, you know, a chance for probably every Cub fan in the world to actually see a World Series. Because right. I'm sure, unless there's somebody 110 years old living in the middle of Illinois right now, he's the only probably person that's ever seen the Cubs
that's
win.
That's right. That's right.
So what we're going to do tonight, in the each bottom half hour of the show, from the 30-minute point to the top of the hour, we'll take calls. 631-888-8811 is the number. 631-888-8811. At 9 o'clock, we're going to have Randy Gorman, who came on last year with us during the draft time. He's from McKean's, former contributor to McKean's Hockey, and I believe from my conversation with him, he's getting involved in some other things this year. But he basically did a lot of scouting and a lot of reporting on the Western Hockey League. So he's one of our draft gurus. One of our good buddies, Paul Kreischer, who runs Isles Talk, the site that we both are writers on. I mean, us not much as we used to, but Paul does a great job, especially dealing with the draft. And looking at some of the prospects. So we're going to basically look at his report card and see how he did. You know, because I know he takes pride in that. I know last year he took a lot of pride in it. So we're going to see how he got to it. So. You know, it's pretty interesting. Obviously, you know, as our guys from the Sports Sizzle, Mike just said to us before we came on, he was talking big on Derrick Rose. You know, and we're not, John and I are not basketball aficionados by any stretch of the imagination, but it obviously was a big story, you know.
Right.
You know, 27 years old, and they think he's, you know, a lot of people think he's washed up. I mean, would you think you'd be washed up at 27?
No.
No. No, you can cope with the best of them, John. I know that.
No.
But
I was washed up at 21.
Okay. But Derrick Rose, obviously an MVP of the league 5 years ago. An interesting deal. I know Brock Lopez's brother was the center for the Knicks. I know he went, and somebody else went to Chicago, and a draft pick was exchanged. Supposedly Rose has an excellent buddy in Joakim Noah, who was obviously, I know, the Bulls' big rebounder. It would be an interesting concept to get him here to basically add some big board support for Porzingis and Melo and for Derrick Rose. I mean, you know, could you see maybe for the first time in a number of years, maybe the Knick team being somewhat relevant?
Yeah, being super competitive maybe?
Yeah, it's quite a possibility. That's for darn sure. But, you know... obviously, they had their draft. I have no idea who got picked. Didn't see
I don't know. I saw, but I don't remember.
Well,
there was
both the Knicks and Nets didn't have a first-round pick.
Yeah, but there was a lot of controversy and who was drafted and where they were drafted. That's all I read. Mm-hmm.
And, of course, you know, everybody obviously on, you know, the Sports Talk platform knows of our hockey connections and stuff. We were watching the draft with bated breath in my household. I'm sure you were.
Yeah,
you were
expecting something big to happen that never happened.
And you know, it's really interesting watching the draft and watching the general managers get up from their chairs and walk over to basically it's almost like a hideaway corner, but it really isn't. So, but you see, you know, you'll see, oh, here's Mark Bergevin talking to the general manager of the Calgary Flames. What are they going to do? You know, or what's going to happen here?
Right, right.
And, you know, other than a couple of minor deals, I mean, well, two in the first round, obviously. Laura Zeller was announced as a trade, and Andrew Shaw went.
But, you know, Chicago had to get rid of Shaw. I mean, it's salary, you know. But they're just going to reload anyway.
They always do. I mean, you know, I mean, this last year, you know, they picked up Panarin from the KHL, and obviously he wins the rookie of the year by a landslide, you know. You know, nobody expected him to be up there. Everybody anointed Connor McDavid to be the MVP the day he was drafted last year.
Right.
You know, and he unfortunately had that injury, ended up being a distant second, which drives me crazy because, to me, I don't think he had better numbers than Jack Eichel.
No, I have to say I don't agree with that because, you know, you could say, well, if he played or if – if, you know, if you're, you know, Ann had, you know what, she'd be your uncle. So what's the difference? You know, so Eichel should have gotten at least second place in that.
I totally agree, but that's why we're not voters in this kind of thing. But, you know, obviously, you know, we'll talk with Randy a little bit deeper. We can go over, you know, at least from our aspect of it. But obviously, you know, no surprise at 1-2. You know, Austin Matthews, you know, from that hockey hotbed of Scottsdale, Arizona.
Yeah.
You know, and it's funny, Randy and I were talking, and we'll talk more with him about it later on, but, you know, he said, you know, this is, to me and to him, I think the fact that kids are being drafted from more obscure hockey hotbeds, you know, than usual, you know, New York's, Minnesota's,
suspects,
Massachusetts,
right.
Michigan's, you know, you're seeing guys coming from, you know, from four players getting drafted out of the St. Louis hockey system. I yet know a couple of them are NHL influenced, but that's not the point. The point is you got four kids coming out of St. Louis. You had one kid coming out of Boca Raton, Florida. Now there's another hotbed.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
But, you know, with the Florida Panthers doing as good as they've been doing over the last, year or so and improving their team minute by minute. They made a bunch of deals, obviously obtaining the rights to Keith Yandle and then signing him to that 6-year, $45 million contract. It's crazy, but you know, they did that with Brian Campbell a few years back, and obviously Campbell's deal is done. So, you know, they're going to move on with him. They're getting a guy with a lot of offensive capability. And if you get the right guy with Keith Yandle, I think he's going to be
he's going to help that team quite a bit. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't think he was a fit in the Rangers, the way the Rangers played. You know, but I think he's still a good hockey player, good defenseman.
Exactly. So, I mean, the Rangers, obviously, because of the fact they lost Keith Yandle, they're losing Mr. Boyle. They ended up making a deal with the Colorado Avalanche, trading for
Nick Holden.
Nick Holden, right? Yeah, they traded their fourth-round pick to the Avalanche for him. So they needed somebody. I mean, they do have a couple of kids coming up. Brady, I can never get his name right. Brady.
Yeah, I can't.
Yeah. You know who we're talking about, especially people Ranger fans are going, come on, you know who it is.
Yeah.
But anyway, they've got a couple of guys up. Obviously, you got Girardi, you got, you know, McDonough, you got, you know, you have enough talent there.
Right.
But again, the big question is going to be, you know, what are the Rangers going to do?
Yeah, because they got no cap space.
They don't have a lot to work with, and they've got a couple of guys that they've got to sign. Now, obviously, moving to our team, our Blue and Orange Islanders, you know, a complete and total shock to me as the draft was going on. You know, I didn't do as much homework as, you know, our buddy Paul and a lot of other people did. But I did, you know, obviously you see the names, you know, the names of players coming through. And obviously, you know, you and I both are around the same age. We remember Brian Bellows playing in the 80s and 90s with the Minnesota North Stars. And, you know, good pedigree from there. I think he was the number two pick in the draft. He had 458 career NHL goals. So you knew this kid was something, and he was ranked, and we'll check it with Randy later. I'm sure he was ranked somewhere near the top 20.
Yeah,
and,
I forget. I read
and
someplace.
Near the top 10, actually. I think it was more
he
10
was number,
than 20.
Yeah, it was like 8th or something.
8th or 9th.
That? Yeah.
So, you know, it's kind of like what happened, and you made the perfect analogy of it when we were talking before the air, you know, with Barzal dropping down as much as he did, and we, you know, all of a sudden he came in our laps. And,
right.
You know, it was a great situation. And I think, obviously, the kid is just 18. You know, you're not expecting him to come to the lineup now. But, you know, where is he going? One of the greatest programs to ever want to go to play U.S. college hockey.
Right, Boston. Yep.
Exactly. He's going to a perfect place. Whether it's BU or whether it's BC, it doesn't matter. But either Boston, you know, big university, you know, that you're talking hotbed. You know, not only, you know, the rivalry between each other and the Bean Pot tournament and all that stuff, but it's the perfect place to get an education and be able to work on your hockey skills.
Right.
The
he's
entire
he's
year.
Down the line, you know, you're talking probably 5 or 6 years, you know, but still.
Yeah,
you know.
I mean, 50 goals in the U.S. development program. I think he's only the fifth kid to do that. So, I mean, he's in good company there. And a lot of surprising talent, you know, that they didn't expect. Again, to fall into their laps that far down. And, you know, obviously, you know, the usual suspects, you know, Austin Matthews, you knew was going to Toronto from the minute.
Yeah, even though there was all this debate whether Toronto would trade the pick for something. And, you know, of course you knew that. It was just, you know, that was going to happen.
Right. I mean, you know, it wasn't like 2009 where everybody was, every media person in Toronto was saying, oh, they're getting Tavares.
Yeah, the Islanders are going to trade him.
They're going to trade Tavares. You're kidding? You know, yeah, well, that didn't happen. But, you know, it was a, I think, and again, it was a big risk, I believe, by the Matthews family that at 17 years of age, instead of putting him, in the Canadian junior program or possibly the USHL, which is actually becoming a much, much stronger junior hockey league over the last, I would say, 5 or 6 years than it's ever been, they took a risk and sent, and the kid and his mom went to Switzerland and played in Zurich.
Right.
They played in, the Swiss league is, if you look at all the European professional leagues, I would say, behind, forget the KHL, because to me that's separate. But you look at Europe, you look at Sweden, you look at Finland, they're number one and number two. I'd say Swiss is right up there at number three.
Yep.
It's a strong league. It's a lot of big players, a lot of strong players. And you don't know what's going to happen to the kid at 17. But I'll tell you, looking at some of the, looking at some game film that I happen to get an eye on YouTube and things, it just really surprised me. He did not look 17. He didn't look 18. He looked like a big man out there. Very comfortable, very calm, very reserved. Testament to his parents for, and their former, I think his father and his grandfather are former baseball players. So they knew the athletic system and knew what they needed to do. And, it's a testament to them. They really took the chance. And, sure enough, he signed with Toronto. And again, to be in that melting pot, be in that big pot, hockey media, They're you have to say it. They're as much, if not worse, than what the Ranger fans were feeling 50 years from winning a cup in the early 90s.
Right.
They were starved. They wanted it. They wanted it bad. And you could see how Toronto is right now. 1967 was their last Stanley Cup, the year before the expansion draft.
Right.
So, they're dying for it. And, as much as we've joked in the past about the Leafs on this channel, their fans are loyal.
Very loyal.
To get a ticket in Toronto is like you'd have to sacrifice your firstborn
male. Exactly.
They love their team and having this guy here, and they say pretty much right from the get-go, he will be a first line player. Now at 18, he's that alert, he's that astute, he's that strong. He's got every facet of the game covered. He skates well. He's got great vision. Definitely in that European system of not passing to a player, but passing to a piece of ice.
Right.
That was one of the things I heard about him. And that's, you can't teach that to a kid. And if you have that at 17, the world's your oyster. As long as he stays healthy, the world is the way.
Now, what else will Toronto do? I mean, they got Frederik Andersen, so they
I think it's a great move.
That was just beautiful for them, because now they got that goaltender they needed.
Well, I mean, obviously we didn't talk about it. The other big deal, the trade deal that happened was with Calgary getting Brian Elliott from the St. Louis Blues.
That's going to help them.
I mean, you think about it. I mean, the reason, it didn't come up to me right away, but they mentioned it, and you say, look, 12 months from now, you're going to have yourself an expansion draft.
Yeah,
and
we have to talk about that.
Not only are you going to have an expansion draft, but the way they're setting up this expansion draft, not a lot of players are going to be protected.
Yeah, I don't like.
I mean, you know what?
Reading.
It's a crapshoot. Yes, you're still only going to lose one player, but in past expansion drafts, especially when the last teams like Columbus and that came into the league, you basically were able to block your first 9 or 10 forwards and your first 5 or 6 defensemen. You were left with scrubbinis. And, you didn't really care so much, but this case, I think more than half of them are going to be exposed.
Yeah, and it's just, I don't know.
I mean, you look
I understand they want to make a team competitive, but, I don't think it's fair to teams that have been in the league,
And you have established guys.
Right.
So, obviously, but you look, you have a Brian Elliott, you have a Jake Allen. Jake Allen's a much younger player. He did much better than Elliott in the playoffs. Elliott was a good goaltender for St. Louis. I think he fits perfectly in Calgary because Calgary had goaltender by fire and they
the revolving door.
Exactly. I mean, I was waiting for you or I to get the call and we were going to put us in equipment. But it turns out that, now they solidified themselves. They got Keith Kachuk's son in the first round, and they're saying he could conceivably make the team. You got him. You got Johnny Hockey. You got a bunch of young kids up there. Calgary's a force.
Yep, absolutely.
And so just looking down at the draft, obviously, number one, we knew Austin Matthews was going to be number two. Number one, number two, Patrick Laine of Tapera in the Finnish league, another one of the Finnish studs,
right?
You know, from the under-18s and the under-21s tournaments, was selected number two by Winnipeg. No surprise there. This kid is another one that's going to be ready right now, right this minute, and he's a kid in a man's body. You know, 6'3", 215, dynamic.
Just think what another 3 or 4 years what that guy is going to be when he grows into that body, you know.
Exactly. I mean, Austin's the same way. You know, I mean, these kids can conceivably put another 15, 20 pounds on
right.
the frame.
Right, just be monsters out there.
And the one that, again, you know, I'm sure you watched the draft from, you know, like an hour before the show, right?
What, say that again?
They said, did you watch?
I caught parts of it.
Oh, okay. I mean, I started watching from like an hour before, and all they kept saying was Matthews, Laine, and Puljujarvi. 1-2-3, 1-2-3, 1-2-3. And there come the Columbus Blue Jackets with some of the bonehead moves that they've drafted over the years. Was it in the Bailey draft? I forget.
Filatov.
Nikita Filatov. There he is. Yeah, what is he doing now? You look, Puljujarvi, another kid, solid, huge, 6'2", 225, NHL size, NHL ready. And who did they pick? Pierre-Luc Dubois, ranked 10th in the draft. Yes, another a name of another former NHL player. But, you know, you just look and say he plays in the queue. I mean, you know, no disrespect to anybody who follows the Quebec Major Junior Hockey League. It's produced a lot of talent over the years, a lot of great goaltending, Patrick Roy.
Yep.
You know, Marc-Andre Fleury, you know, among others. They produced some great offensive players. Some guy named Lemieux, some guy named LaFontaine, some guy named LaFleur, Bossy.
Sounds familiar.
Yeah, a couple guys. But, you know, they do produce offensive talent, but the problem is defense, unfortunately, sometimes doesn't exist in that league. They've got an offensive mind game only, and most guys that get picked up in the top of the draft in the last 8 to 10 years, by the time they get to the NHL, they're not ready. And I don't think I think they're taking a big, big risk. Supposedly, Mr. Coach there, Mr. Tortorella, did not like Puljujarvi, so it kind of influenced the decision, but good luck with that. So, who gets Puljujarvi but the defensive strapped Edmonton Oilers? Again.
Another forward to add to the...
But, I mean, yes. And I'm gonna spell the name J-U-O-L-E-V-Y, Yulevi or whatever, was the first defenseman picked and was picked number 5 by the Vancouver Canucks. He's playing currently with the London Knights of the Ontario Hockey League. They do have a lot of good things to say about him. But, again, I don't think he's obviously NHL ready. I think he's still a year or two away, and Vancouver does have a little bit of defensive talent there that they can get away with drafting a kid like him. They felt the best player on the board and held him back or whatever. But again, Edmonton picks this. I mean, the only thing you got to say is, what is Peter Chiarelli going to do come July 1?
Yeah.
I mean, he has to do something. He has to get some defensive talent.
Yeah,
obviously, as Islander fans, we heard the big rumor, of Taylor Hall for Travis Hamonic. You know,
that's not, I don't, you know, th- I Travis still don't is think off the boards. So.
Travis is off the boards, and I don't think it's going to happen.
No. Nah.
So, you know, quite interesting scenario there. Obviously, then Matthew Tkachuk, as we talked about, gets picked by the Calgary Flames. You know, overall, 12 Americans picked in the first 30 for the best first round draft by the American, you know, hockey program ever. And, you know, it's up and down. I mean, you know, of course, you know, being Islander fans, we, you know, kind of had a little hope, and I'm sure his father had a little hope that Brent Thompson, the head coach of the Bridgeport Sound Tigers, that his son Tage would have got signed by picked by the Islanders at 19, but he fell down, and he was actually rated around 28, 29, so he got picked 26 by the St. Louis Blues. But I'll tell you one thing, as a result of that, he basically, I believe, has put the University of Connecticut hockey team on the map.
Right.
You know, that they were a struggling team for a long time. They got one of the assistants from BU to take over the team at Connecticut, and obviously with, you know, Brent's son being a freshman, you know, need to go to school. He went to the University of Connecticut, scored 15 goals, helped the team do much better in the standings in Hockey East that they've ever been in. And, you know, now they can say, hey, we have a first-round draft pick on our team.
That's right.
You know what that does for your recruiting efforts.
That's it. Does, absolutely.
It does help. But, so, again, then, as we said about the Islanders, you know, here comes Kiefer Bellows, the son of Brian Bellows, falls into the 19th spot. You know, we're talking Barzal again. And, you know, it's a great little story. I was really wondering if they fell down as far as he did. There was a Long Islander picked above that, Charlie McAvoy, playing for Boston University, a product of Long Beach, gets picked up by the Boston Bruins. So at least when he finishes college, he only has to go about maybe a half a mile to go to his new arena. But, you know, it was a great – you always like to hear some of these crazy stories that happen in the draft. And one of the ones that really – touched me. I don't know if you saw it, John, but when Colorado picked at number 10, they picked a center by the name of Tyson Jost coming out of the BC Junior Hockey League. Not the Western League, but it's the level above. But they a lot of talent comes out of BCJHL, and I'm sure we'll talk to Randy about that later. But Tyson, coming from a single mom family, it was very emotional when his name got announced. The first person he hugged was his grandfather, and you could see the emotion coming out of his eyes. He had to take his glasses off. His tears were spilling down. I mean, they say everybody on the team that he plays for calls him grandpa. You know, they all love him. He's like, you know, the great guy to have around, and he's always there for Tyson with practices and things. But it's those little stories.
Right.
It's those things that you see.
Makes it worthwhile.
I mean, football is nice. You know, there's always a lot of stories about the kids, you know, that buy a house for their mother and, you know, do all this stuff. But when it comes down to a kid, you know, a kid in local, you know, youth sports, you know, the kids that play hockey, to me, unfortunately, because of the nature of the sport and the nature of getting the ability to play at all times of the morning and all this stuff, the parents of hockey players, to me, have to do more.
Much more.
And so
it's
much
a lot more
than
expensive
any other sport.
Too.
Oh,
and
absolutely.
The skates and ice time and everything else.
You're talking thousands on thousands of dollars. And kids are playing tournaments every weekend. You know, you're talking kids that play for either Apple Corps or Oyster Bay Gulls or Long Island or Junior Islanders. They're going. They're not just going to, you know, Eastern Suffolk or Queens or Brooklyn. They're going to Massachusetts, to Lake Placid, to Virginia, to Canada. You know, they're going all over North America on weekends and then coming back and going back to school and going back to practice at 5 a.m. at Kaniac Park, you know, or something like that. So, you know, it's just a great testament. If you never got a chance to really watch an NHL draft go on, you know, it's something you really have to see and experience and watch the reactions of the, not just the parents, but, I mean, the family members. Because it's not just the kid and the parents. It's the whole family to get involved, you know, because the brothers and sisters got sometimes get dragged in, you know. And you know, of course, they're all lovey-dovey, but, you know, maybe after the cameras are gone, they may punch each other. But you know, it's still a family affair, and it's a great scene.
It's great stories, you know. That's how these kids, you know, what they went through to get to, you know, where they are.
Right.
You know,
and for most of them, you know, I would say, you know, you look at the first round, and I would say probably 2/3, maybe, you know, end up having a somewhat of an NHL career, you know, because you do get some guys that just either, you know, got picked by the wrong team, or got hurt in the AHL, or, you know, made it to the NHL, played a couple games, got in a serious accident, or their game just didn't materialize to the way it should have, and they end up trailing back to the minors or going to Europe. So, you know, you do get those stories. I mean, they're a dime, you know, they're a lot more than a dime a dozen. But, you know, you figure 2/3 of these guys are definitely going to, you know, have NHL careers. And, you know, it's just great to see those stories. No? Break. Okay, we're going to take a break right now, pay a couple bills, and when we come back, we'll take your calls. 631-888-8811 is the number here for Sports Talk Cell 40. John and Gary are going to be here for another 90 minutes, folks.
Yes, get used
so
to it.
So come on, get used to us. We're going to be here for a while. Give us a call. Let's talk some sports, baseball, football, hockey, whatever you want. Talk to you later.
to Sports Talk 1240 on Long Island's AM 1240. WGBB.
Country Foot Care, official podiatrists of the New York Lizards, have been delivering state-of-the-art foot care with good old-fashioned caring to Long Island residents for over 30 years. Specialists in sports medicine and foot injuries, Country Foot Care can be reached at 516-741-FEET or online at countryfootcare.com.
Want to advertise your business on Sports Talk 1240? Place an ad on sportstalk1240.com and run a radio commercial during the show every Sunday night here on AM 1240 WGBB. Our rates are very affordable. We'll even produce the radio commercial for you. Just head over to sportstalk1240.com and fill out the Contact Us form and let us start promoting your business today.
Unflippable, unflappable, unleakable. The Gust Buster is the only umbrella that won't flip inside out, rip, tear, or leak. Capable of withstanding winds over 55 miles per hour. All of our umbrellas are constructed of the finest quality materials and backed by a limited lifetime guarantee. What are you waiting for? Visit GustBuster.com and get your Gust Buster today.
Stay connected to Sports Talk 1240 by following us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at Sports Talk 1240.
You're listening to Sports Talk 1240, broadcasting every Sunday night beginning at 8 p.m. right here on Long Island's AM 1240 WGBB, the station that serves your community. And now back to the show.
Hey, and we're back with Sports Talk 1240 again. This show is sponsored by Country Foot Care of Mineola, East Williston, and now Patcha. Three locations to serve all your foot care needs. And I think Dr. Brooke may be calling us later on. Dr. Brooke, who's the sponsor of our show and owner of Country Foot Care, is a very angry Met fan of late. So hopefully, I did give him the phone number to call us, so hopefully he gives us a call later. But we do get somebody on the line. This gentleman, John and I both know very, very well. He is the head writer, the head honcho, my old comrade for Isles Talk, and his name is Paul Kreischer, and he's calling us from somewhere in the backwoods of Pennsylvania. Paul, it's John and Gary. What's going on, dude?
How are you guys?
What's going on?
All right. So, okay, let's get it out right away. In your mock draft before before everything happened on Friday, where did you have Mr. Bellows?
No, I did not.
No, where did you have him? Where did you have him?
I had him in the top 15.
Okay.
I'm not going to lie. I thought Minnesota was going to draft him because there were rumors of Thomas Vanek being bought out right after the season was over, and Bellows at the time made the most sense.
Right, former Minnesota pedigree. That whole situation.
Exactly. He had the Minnesota pedigree. Thomas Vanek was being bought out. And it was just, Bellows is going to be ready in about 2-3 years at most. But he's first line.
Exactly. I mean,
first line.
It
made sense for Minnesota to draft Bellows. Mm-hmm. So I did not have Bellows in my little blog on, who would be at 19. And I was happily shocked. I thought Winnipeg was going to snatch him up when they made that trade with Philadelphia at 18.
Right, exactly. And actually Brian said that he thinks that he's better, that Kiefer is better at 17, 18 than he was. And he just thinks he's bigger, he's stronger, he's got a better shot. Yeah, that's what they said at the draft, actually.
I was watching that, and I've been able to read a couple of other reports on Bellows, and they said there's just a hint of Zach Parise in there as well. The feistiness reminds them very much of Zach Parise. So you want to throw in Brian Bellows and Zach Parise together, and you've got Kiefer, and put him on the first line, as far as I'm concerned, when he's ready.
But see, that's the difference between a Gar Snow and a Mike Milbury. So when you see a Zach Parise type, you draft him.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
I mean, that's the way it goes. I mean, so you might have heard us before. We were we were obviously joking about the fact that, you know, the team that was drafting at number four, you know, needing a defenseman, and what do they pick? A winger!
Yeah, they drafted Puljuh Harvey, but I'll tell you this right now. The moment Edmonton drafted Puljuh Harvey, Taylor Hall was off the market. Because now you're going to have a front line of Taylor Hall, Connor McDavid, and this kid Puljuh Harvey.
Right, because they feel he's NHL ready right now.
Oh, my, yeah, he's ready now. He's ready now. If he doesn't make the team, I will be very much surprised.
So what do you – I mean, again, we also joked about the fact that, you know, that Dubois got picked above him. I mean, what was Columbus thinking?
You know, the only thing I can – the only way I can defend Columbus here is
with a long stick?
A couple of years ago, Seth Jones was supposed to go to Florida, if I'm not mistaken, or something like that, and they took Nick Bjugstad instead.
Mm-hmm.
And then Jones fell down into the laps of the Nashville Predators. It's a personal preference. I guess Dubois fits their system better. Like you said on the air before, Tortorella wasn't too thrilled with Puljuh Harvey. It was a personal choice.
Yeah.
So we'll see if it works for them. It worked for Florida, but we'll see if it works for Columbus.
So let's just ask to let people know that, you know, if they haven't checked Al's talk, you know, during the draft, who was your gut feeling that the Islanders were going to pull at 19?
Max Jones. If they were going to draft, definitely a winger. I thought Gauthier was going to go to Philly. I thought Philly was going to draft, and Max Jones was the next.
Next best
player available in terms of wingers.
Right. I mean, because wasn't he, but wasn't,
like I said,
what happened now? Wasn't Max Jones as recently as a few weeks back rated higher than where he ended up? Because everybody thought he was going to be up in the lower part of the next 10.
Well, they don't really know what they're going to get out of Max Jones yet. And for Islander fans, I'll give this to you. He's either going to turn into like a Rafi Torres, or he's going to turn into a Matt Martin.
Okay.
Minus, hopefully, the attitude from Rafi Torres. But
right.
He does have that attitude that does scare a lot of general managers off.
Right.
But the talent that Rafi Torres had, Rafi Torres was a top six forward, you know,
yeah,
minus the attitude. And
right.
that's where Max Jones was heading, or is heading at this point.
Now, obviously, you know, the second day of the draft, you know, everything happens in, you know, six rounds in 3 hours or whatever. And
correct.
I didn't, you know, obviously I didn't listen. I was in the car. I was doing a bunch of things. But when I finally stopped and looked and I see this pick that they got, 95 overall, Anatoly Goleshev, and I look at the name, I'm like, oh, okay, so they selected a Russian player. But then when I finally, you know, clicked on the Islander site and looked at the info, I see 21 years old. I'm like, wow, that's interesting.
Yep.
He didn't get drafted, and you know, until now, and everybody seems to compare him to some guy named Panarin.
You bet.
I mean, so they really went off the board, and I'm surprised that nobody grabbed him. I mean, 25 goal score in the K. I know that doesn't necessarily mean a lot per se, but you know, Panarin was in the same realm, and he got put with the right people. So I mean, you don't have a kid here. You've got a young man, a guy that can almost step up now if he needs to.
You have a young man who is under contract with the KHL, but he has to play this coming season. And I do not remember the Islanders scout, the director of scouting, but he had mentioned on Twitter that the Islanders could probably buy out the rest of his contract after this next season at the KHL.
Right.
Which means for Islander fans, I will say this now. Say goodbye to Josh Bailey after this season. Because this kid, if he comes over from Russia, will take over Josh Bailey's spot as of right now as the number two right winger. And Ryan Strome, if he does not put up numbers like he's supposed to, he's on notice.
Yeah, that's exactly right. So Claire, please don't
don't take it out.
Don't take it out.
Sorry,
of me
Claire.
When I get home.
Sorry, Claire. I know Claire's listening, but here's the thing. I see Bailey this year on the second line right wing for now. But I think the Islanders really want to see what Shane Prince can do. over a full season.
I agree with that. I mean, his stock, you know, he's one of those like penny stocks that all of a sudden start to have dollars on them now. So, I mean, he's got that ability, especially, you know, if all things go to fruition. I mean, obviously, you know, we have the, you know, the mini camp starts, I think they're going in Monday for physicals and stuff, and they start Tuesday. Wednesday night is the game at the Twin Rinks in Idaho.
Right, they're doing it early this year.
They're doing it right away. Yeah, they're doing it right away. Most teams are doing it this week, actually. For whatever reason, they want to get it done before the July 4th holiday, I guess. But so it will be quite interesting to see how the fans take to, especially the ones that got drafted this past week. But you got to look at that whole lineup that's going to be out there, and you got guys that really need to show something in the next 72 hours.
They have to show something, and I'm going to say this now. Brock Nelson's also on notice because Anthony Barzal is almost ready for the NHL. If not, he is ready now, and he's slotted in that second-line center. That's where everyone's putting him at.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why you also have that reluctance to re-sign Franz Nielsen, and that's Matthew Barzal. Now, here's the most important point for Islander fans to know here. With the drafts that they have done, what Garcino has done last year and this year, you're going to have the following people, hopefully, if everything pans out, on the Islanders in about 2 or 3 years at most. Okay, you're going to have Matthew Barzal, Michael Delcole, Anthony Bouvier. You're going to have Kiefer Bellows. You're going to have hopefully our new Russian whiz kid, Golyashev. You're going to have roughly 4 or 5 players just drafted. They're all going to be on entry-level contracts by the time John Tavares' contract needs to be signed. John Tavares can walk into the room with Malkin, Ledecky, and Wong right there with big smiles on their faces, practically with a blank check, and say to John, how much do you want?
Right.
I totally agree with that. I mean, you know, and again, I think the attitude that JT has taken throughout this entire process is saying, look, you know, just make this team better. You know, take care of me when you need to take care of me, but let's make this team better. And you got to love that. You have to love that attitude.
Absolutely. Oh, there's no question. And I, at the end of the season, I don't call this a crossroads. I call this a transition year because eventually Nikolai Kuhlman's contract is going to be gone. Well, you can slap Michael Delcole in the third line for his first year.
Mm-hmm.
And then that following year, Anders Lee. If he wants more money, he may test for unrestricted free agency. That's fine. You can move Michael Delcole up to where Anders Lee is, as long as he's progressing, and then you move in Anthony Bouvier. Now, take into consideration this year's free agency. We need a top-line left winger. Well, Kiefer Bellows is not ready for maybe 3 or 4 years. That's the contract that you're looking to give this next left winger. And hopefully, again, as long as everything goes well, Kiefer Bellows will eventually replace the free agent the Islanders are trying to sign this year. I mean, it's a seamless transition.
Who's on your radar?
I like Andrew Ladd.
Hockey Buzz
I
likes
think
him too.
For the experience.
For us. Yep.
Big, he'd solid be a great body. Team player. I wouldn't mind giving him 4 years. At that point, I don't think the fourth year really would matter. Under the radar, I'm looking at Jamie McGinn.
Yeah, I mean, Andrew Ladd's only 30. I mean, he came up at 18. So, I mean, you know,
exactly.
He's been around a lot, but, I mean, he's still got a lot of hockey left in him.
He's got a lot of hockey. I don't mind the fourth year. Jamie McGinn is 27 years old.
He intrigues me because I think he's got an upside that, you know,
Jamie McGinn, John, reminds me of Kyle Palmieri last year. The Devils traded their second-round pick for Kyle Palmieri from Anaheim because Anaheim was loaded up in forwards. So the Devils basically traded a second-round pick, and they ended up getting a 30-goal scorer out of Palmieri.
Yep.
I'm hoping Jamie McGinn could be the same person. Now, He's had some injury issues before, but he's been healthy, I believe, the last 2 years. So I don't think that's going to be an issue. But he scored 22 goals, the same as Kyle Laposo, and he did it with 4 minutes left. I'm sorry, 4 minutes less.
Less ice time.
Time on ice.
Yep, right.
Exactly. John, I completely agree with you that I don't think we have seen the best of Jamie McGinn yet. And I think if you were to say, look, you want to play on the line with John Tavares and Ryan Strome? Here we go. Here's your chance.
It's not a bad
And his salary last year was $1.5 million lower than Kyle Laposo.
Right. He's making $3 million.
Yeah, he's at $3 million. So if you want to offer Kyle Laposo's money to Jamie McGinn and you tell him he'll play on the first line with John Tavares, that'd be an easier sell, possibly.
Mm-hmm. Totally.
But if you want to go for the cup now, do you want to go for that experience? And that's where Andrew Ladd comes in, but Andrew Ladd's going to be a little more on the expensive side.
Right.
Yeah, I think he's around in the $5 million range. 4.5.
Correct.
Actually, 4.5. Yeah, and again, you got a guy that's won, not one, but two cups. I mean, you know, so.
Correct. One with Carolina and one with Chicago.
Mm-hmm. So, you got a guy with experience and a guy that can do the job, and he's going to
be. And I like Andrew Ladd, too, you know, and mm-hmm. it's like a.
And again, it's having another captain in that locker room.
Right.
Correct. And mm-hmm. that's the key. When you're signing free agents, and you guys know this, chemistry is always key.
Chemistry, and not only chemistry, but character.
Right. And that's Snow's. Right.
And that's Snow's mantra. Yeah. That character, word is, it goes big.
Exactly.
And anytime I ever see him and I mention that word, you see his eyes light up. So if somebody doesn't have that characteristic or that kind of attitude, to do whatever it takes and be good, with the rest of the team and the media and everything else, then you're not going to be spending long with this organization.
Correct. Now, at the same time, I would like the Islanders to re-sign Franz Nielsen, but I don't know if I want to sign him for 5 years.
Yeah, good point.
But again,
Franz is looking at a 5-year deal, I'm very skeptical on that.
Unfortunately, in, was it 120 more hours, we're going to have new owners. You don't know if they're gonna subscribe to the same loyalty factor that Charles would. Yes, he overpaid on contracts. We know that ad infinitum. But Garth has said, and John was at the Booster Club meeting, which unfortunately you didn't show up due to your car issues. That he's got the same relationship, or he feels he has the same relationship regarding the signing of players and the dealing of contracts with John and John Ledecky and Malkin that he does with Charles Wong. That he feels he'll have the same kind of chemistry, even though it's two people instead of one, but he feels it'll be just as simple to get something done with them as it is with the old leadership.
Well, here you go, guys. I'm going to throw this out for you, and I may be able to redeem myself with Claire. Would you guys be opposed if Josh Bailey was moved from possible second-line right winger to the third-line center?
I think Josh Bailey's a better center than a winger. I would have no problem with that. And I think I can answer that for my wife on that, too. But
Yeah.
But, no, I actually think he would be better there. I think the pressure would come off.
The pressure would come off, and to be honest, you'd probably see him complete his contract if he were to move down to a third-line center. And let's face it, he's got Nikolai Kuhlman and Shane Prince. He could. It really would depend on Prince, but could he put up his 40-plus points as a third-line center? I think so, because I don't think Shane Prince is a setup guy as well, but Shane Prince, you're going to get more shots from him than you would Josh.
He's got a shoot-first mentality.
He's got a shoot-first mentality.
And Nikolai Kuhlman will crash the board. He'll crash the net.
Right.
I was saying this to John before the show tonight. I have obviously we haven't talked about Casey Cizikas, and to me, giving him that contract and giving him that amount of money is telling me. And this is where I'm not so sure what you're saying about Josh, because to me I think he's getting third line money, $3.5 million a year. I don't think you're going to see him for long on the – I think, truthfully, Casey goes up, Kuhlman goes down. Because he – especially if Matt Martin is no longer here, if – I know it's a $4 million fourth liner, but he could fit that mold. You put him together with Clutterbuck, and you got Bash Brothers again.
You could. You absolutely could. Yeah.
That's the question. I just feel that the money they gave Casey, I think they're saying to him, look, you want to, you did well scoring. You got career high numbers. You want to go get more career high numbers. Here's some money. Go do it. And I think they're rewarding him for it. Am I that far off base?
Do you think he's going to stay on the fourth line, or do you think he's going to get bumped up to the third?
I don't know. You know what? It's going to be quite the interesting training camp with a lot of these spots opening, a lot of possibilities happening.
It's going to be competitive.
You know these guys now. I'm sure that they've only had maybe a couple of week vacation, and they're already working now. They are working.
There's no question. After this draft, gentlemen, most of these Islander players are on notice. There's no question about it. Like any of these, bound to be unrestricted free agents, they better start playing their butts off if they want a decent contract. All these restricted free agents, they better start showing up during the playoffs. The time is now for the Islanders' younger players to, and even the older players, to get their act together and get this team beyond to a conference finals.
And I think
with Andrew Ladd, I think the Islanders could do it.
Right. And I agree what you said about Nelson, because, there's a guy who scored 26 goals but was absolutely invisible in the playoffs and just played horrifically at times.
Yep.
I can hear John from my house screaming. He's like, what are you doing?
Matthew Barzal last year, gentlemen, was the 13th forward on the World Junior Championship.
Yep.
And his name was talked about the most during those games. He was feisty. He was all over the place. He was making plays. That's what you want Brock Nelson to do in the playoffs.
Right.
If he doesn't do it, hello to Barzal.
Right.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. All right, Paul. Well, listen, I appreciate the insight stuff.
As usual.
As usual, exactly. You know where to get Paul's insight, folks. If you're listening, IslesTalk.com. He definitely knows his stuff. I think I definitely hired a good guy when I started this up, didn't I?
I think so. Yeah.
I'm taking full credit for you.
I wish I could write some more. I just don't have the time right now.
But we'll get there.
It's the summertime, guys. We deserve a break.
He's got a point there. He's got a point.
Okay, I'll go to Florida tomorrow.
Yeah, I wish you had.
Actually, I am going to Florida.
If I didn't have this convention working right now, I would say, yeah, I could take a vacation. But on that note, all right, listen, Paul, thanks a lot for calling. We appreciate it, buddy.
Take it easy, Paul.
All right, you too. Anyway, that's Paul Kreischer, www.islestalk.com. Again, he writes great stuff. He's got good insight. And being that he lives 100-something miles away, he gets a different picture because he's not here. Obviously he reads his Newsday and everything else, but sometimes,
he always grounds me with his posts, because just when I'm ready to fly off the handle, I read him, and he's like that calming voice before I start ranting.
Well, what he does, and I won't talk about his personal work career, but he's in a kind of field where you need to have that calming influence. So I think it works perfectly.
Yeah, it works perfectly.
He fits the equation quite well. But, it's going to be a very interesting training camp for Islander fans, and again, Ranger fans too. It's the same way. They had a team that did not produce in the playoffs. Obviously, they can say, "Oh, we lost to the eventual
Stanley Cup
champions," but there seem to be some weaknesses in that lineup.
I heard a lot of people saying, well, they've played a lot of hockey in the last, three, 4 years. And I can see that to a certain extent. I think that's what happened to the Blackhawks, too. But still, the Rangers really dropped off as the season went on.
And there's guys that are on their team that they really wish they can get rid of.
Yeah.
I guess the number 61 kind of has a familiar ring to it. you know, there was even talk on one of the boards of Rick Nash being traded to the Islanders. And I'm like, well, first of all, no trade with the Rangers and Islanders will ever happen, let alone unless there's a third team involved. But you know, unfortunately, you know, and it's been a constant problem with the Dolan family is that they go, and it's not much different than Charles Wong when you think about it. They give a lot of money to people that don't, to my honest opinion, don't really deserve to make that kind of money.
And you give it to for too long a period. You're really gambling when you sign these guys to 6-7 year deals because you know the hockey is it's not an easy sport.
And if you start struggling in year 2 and 3. You're basically stuck with that contract for 4, 5, 6, and 7.
Right, because nobody's going to buy it off you.
Exactly. What GM is going to go, oh, I want Rick Nash.
Yeah, for $7 million or whatever it is.
Well, yeah, well, if they can do like they do in other sports, yeah, I'll take Rick Nash. You pay 6, I'll pay 1.
Right.
You know, that's what happens in baseball, obviously. That's what happens in some other sports. You know, you pay them the minimum and, you know, you go along. But, you know... To me, we didn't talk about this in the draft, but to me, the best move made in the draft was actually not involving a draft player. It was involved the Arizona Coyotes taking the contract of the recently moving to Russia, Pavel Datsyuk.
Right.
They basically got a phantom $7 million on their board, and they don't have to pay it.
Right.
You know, the contract still exists, so he still gets. So Arizona says, "Well, yeah, we'll pay him $7.5 million." But you know, it's like watching on a computer screen when you see something like a file being passed over and it gets deleted, and all of a sudden it becomes crumbled nothing. That's what that $7 million is. It just goes away.
Yeah, and it just gets them above their floor,
right? Their floor basically went down from 52 to 45.
Right.
So they could do whatever they want to do. And not have to spend that money. So they did it last year with Chris Pronger. Now they're doing it this year with Pavel Datsyuk. I think it's a great situation for that 27-year-old general manager. I forget his name, but 27 years old. My God, he's only out of college 4 years, and he's running a hockey club. But he's made some interesting moves. He's got a lot of young kids there. He's got Ryan Strome's brother. He's got Ty Domi's son, Max Domi. Anthony Duclair, that steal that they got in the Trent Yandel deal, it's turning out that, you know, Ranger fans are kicking themselves in the teeth for that one. But, and they just picked up Jacob Chychrun with the number 16 pick in the first round this year. They also picked up Clayton Keller, another center from the USA Under 18 program at the number 7 pick. So Arizona's got a lot of young talent, and if they can mold it up the right way, you know, you've got some interesting years coming up with those guys,
right? Especially with the room they have,
exactly.
It's basically kind of what Snow did early on, you know.
Right, but it seems to be they're getting more of an open leash than Snowy's getting. Yeah. You know, so we'll see how it goes. We're gonna take a break, and when we come back, we're gonna have Randy Gorman from McKean's Hockey coming in to talk to us. Talking about the NHL draft and looking at the local picks, and we'll come back for the second hour of Sports Talk 1240 WGBB.
Expressed in the previous program did not necessarily represent those of the staff, management, or owners of WGBB.